I will be slowly reading Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were saved.
Tissues are awesome and amazing. They've also come up with these new shoes that you don't have to tie anything. You just step in and they slip on. Those are wonderful for people that have suffered through back surgeries and knee replacements. And so that went on much quicker than it would have done a month ago. Discipleship and fellowship. I want to talk to you a little bit about discipleship. Anybody know who Martin Luther is? Way back in the early 1500s, famous for beginning the Protestant Reformation, where there were things in the church that he wanted to reform. It didn't work in the church, and so the Protestant Reformation began. Martin Luther is quoted as saying, "A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing." Is that true? A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. As I think about that phrase, that quote, I come to the conclusion that the Christian faith must be a very valuable reality. It must be a very valuable reality for the Christian faith. It gives much. It showers blessings upon us as God's people. The Christian faith also costs much. It necessitates the cost of a committed heart and a committed life. And it opens up a believer to a life of self-sacrifice. Is it okay to describe the Christian faith as a very valuable reality? I mean, I'm not putting a cost, a price on our faith, but it's a very valuable reality. The value of the Christian faith rests with the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And everybody can enjoy that unless you're one of the parents, but it's okay. Some more rhetorical questions. I want you to think answers in your head. What has your faith in Christ given to you? What has your faith in Christ given to you? What costs would you associate with your faith in Christ? What does your faith cost you? And thirdly, how have you suffered in or suffered through your relationship with Christ? How have you suffered in or through your relationship with Christ? When we think about discipleship, it's important to know, it's important to remember that Jesus did not come to make us safe or to keep us safe. Jesus came to make us disciples. Jesus came to make us followers of Him, citizens in God's kingdom. And that's an eternal kingdom that will far live beyond the scope of this earthly world. The Great Commission, the final direction of Jesus to His disciples, Matthew 28:19-20, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Baptism and teaching, discipleship. Maybe you can recall what I said earlier in talking about fellowship. Christian fellowship is two-dimensional. It's vertical and it's horizontal. And the vertical comes first. We must know the reality of fellowship with the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. In that way, we can know the blessed fellowship we have with one another in our common relationship with God. Knowing the reality of fellowship with His Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, sums up discipleship. Have you ever thought, have you ever wondered how a disciple is made? If Jesus came to make disciples, how are disciples made? Jesus says, go and make disciples. Sitting in a service of worship does not make you a disciple. Teaching 30 years of Sunday school does not make you a disciple. Dropping your donation in the offering plate does not make you a disciple. Being able to recite all the names of the 70 books in the Bible do not make you a disciple. You sure it's 66? I just wanted to see. I was looking at Bible Quiz Master over here and he looked at me. There's only 66. I knew that. I was playing a game with you. But if you know all of them, it doesn't make you a disciple. Going on a mission trip does not make you a disciple. So what does? What makes a person a disciple? A father and a son arrived in a small western town. They were looking for an uncle whom they have never met. And as they got out of the car, and the father looked across the square and he said, there he is, there is my uncle. To his son said, how can you know that's him if you've never seen him before? And the father said, he walks exactly like my father walks. So Jesus makes us a disciple as we walk the way Jesus walked. Now, not physically walking with Jesus, but living the way Jesus lived. Jesus put His Heavenly Father first. In all those big weighty decisions, Jesus would pray. And He would say, not my will be done, but Your will be done. A disciple continues learning the Bible. A disciple continues to love others. A disciple continues to bear fruit. And a disciple puts Christ first. Now, you all know what a cross looks like. What does a yoke look like? Anybody know what a yoke is? It's that large wooden piece that you put on the top of two oxen and it's yoked underneath their neck and it's connected to the plow or the wagon or whatever. And that yoke yokes them together so they can work together. The cross of crucifixion on which Jesus died, He died there as a sacrifice for His sin? No, He died there as a sacrifice for our sin. The yoke, that wooden cross piece, that yoke speaks of living in the world so we can learn from Christ. The cross speaks of leaving the world for Christ, not physically in death, but leaving the world, not living in the secular world, but living in the world of Jesus Christ, so that we know how obedient we can follow the walk of Jesus. But the yoke speaks of sacrifice. Sacrifice. We don't just live for ourselves. Discipleship demands that we live for one another. Living in this world, The yoke is a present symbol. Learning in the world from Christ. We're to learn His truths, and we're to walk in His footsteps. Discipleship. It's a key focus of ministry for me, and I hope for all of us in this new program year, to be focusing in on making Jesus Christ the priority. And discipleship and fellowship, they are yoked together. Yoked together, they go hand in hand. Linda read for us the description of the early church, which is still the model for all churches to follow in today's world. And there's four key things that Acts chapter 2 points out. Number one, devotion to the apostles' teaching. Bible study. Devoted means continued steadfastly. It means reading the Bible often. Not just reading it, but knowing what you're reading. It's about single-minded fidelity. No departure. We're not supposed to be learning from the secular world. We're supposed to be learning from the Christian world of the gospel with single-minded fidelity. Those first Christians, if the apostles did not teach it, they knew it was not of God. When we read the Bible, it teaches us what is of God and what is of the world. And they could live that way, and we can live that way, because we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we always want to know Him more. Devotion to the apostles' teaching. To the fellowship. They shared with one another. We share the same Lord Jesus Christ. We share Jesus together. We share the same guide for our lives. We share the same love we have for God. We share the same desire to worship God. We share the same struggles. We share the same victories. We share the same task, the same job of living for Jesus Christ. Fellowship. We don't do it alone. And we share the same joy of communicating the gospel. Number three is the breaking of bread. They ate, if you continue to read the rest of what Linda read for us, they ate together, but in the breaking of the bread, it's a reference to communion. In the breaking of the bread, representing the body, the broken body of Jesus Christ, they remember the sacrifice Jesus offered of Himself on the cross. And in our time of breaking of the bread, we personally remember how Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins. And fourth, prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. And in this context, prayer means both worship and prayer. To worship like we're worshiping and to spend time in prayer. Those are the four keys of the church. Devotion to the apostles' teaching, devotion to the fellowship, devotion to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, if you read all of what is in the bulletin from that little, they shared everything in common. I learned this from Jack Stover. I needed a tool one time, and Jack said, you can make use of this. And then I did some work for him, and he gave me a trailer, and I still have that trailer. And you know, we share things back and forth. So anybody that has ever wanted to borrow a tool from Eric, they can call me on the phone and I can tell them, just show up at my shop and I can tell them where that tool is located. You're not going to be able to find anything now because I rearranged everything. When you get new tools, you got to rearrange the shop. But I just let my tools out because we have everything in common. Now, I had a text late last night. They were here. Oh, there they are. I had a text from Anna Yoder last night. Would you make an announcement? And you know, I thought about it overnight, and I'm making this announcement because it fits. They shared everything in common, and they helped those who had a need. And Eric and Anna are moving out of their house, and they're getting their house now ready to sell. And they need some help. They need some skilled people and they need some help just to move things. And so if you're available on this coming Friday or on Saturday or any time that might fit your schedule, give Eric and Anna a call and they could use your help. Okay? Because they shared in common and they helped anyone who has a need. That is the life of the early church. And that's to be our life today. Discipleship and fellowship. They are yoked hand in hand together. Now, I don't know how your mind works, and you certainly don't want to know how my mind works, but I am amazed at what God can do. Because the whole time I've been in this service, I'm only thinking about Larry in one part of my brain. And he is just resting there to see what I'm going to follow up with. And I wonder, when his girlfriend called the first time and we helped him, and then he called the second time and we helped him, that all set the stage that when God told him to pray, he came to the church where we've been able to help him. And this aspect of what they had in common and the needs that arise were here for one another. It goes beyond the congregation. It goes beyond just our fellowship to help anyone who has a need. Praise be to God. Amen.
As we come to our close of worship this morning, we've got two songs to sing, God of Wonders and Shout to the Lord. I do invite you again to rise if you're able.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. Majesty, you are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy, the universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. You are holy, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. To me, Father, holy, holy, the universe. You are holy, 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 holy. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, You are holy, holy. Precious Lord, reveal Your heart to me. To the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. To the Lord of heaven and earth.
Bow down and the seas will roar at the sound.
the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Let's close in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the beauty of this day, and we thank you for the wonder of your Son, Jesus. Lord, as this time of fellowship comes to an end, we pray that we would enjoy the time at the table. We thank you for the members and the friends of the fellowship committee that have prepared the food. We pray your blessing upon that and upon our souls. To serve you and to love you, in Christ we pray. Amen.